not free market propaganda and corrupt politicians, cause they own by special interest groups that fund their campaign. That's why you hear the same old things they claim, but change never came. It's a dirty game maintained by rain for capital gain.
Welcome to the Project Censored Show. I'm your host, Mickey Huff, with co-host Chase Palmieri. On today's program, we showcase our future climate with three guests across generations committed to addressing the climate crisis. We feature the force behind OurFutureClimate.com, activist Robert Manning, also the executive director of the Mount Diablo Peace and Justice Center, Andrew Kodama, joins the show, and Arnie Gunderson comes back from Fairwinds Energy Education, the nuclear expert, to explain how and why we all must act now to reverse course on climate matters and move to renewables as our best hope forward. Stay with us.
Thinkable crimes perpetrated by the criminal minds, political ties, habitualized alibis, disguise under the guise of democracy, politics, and the apocalypse. Got the skies looking ominous.
Welcome to the Project Censored Show. I'm your host, Mickey Huff, in studio with co-host Chase Palmieri. On today's program, we focus on our future climate. We'll be talking about climate change and the climate crisis on today's program, specifically going through a project called OurFutureClimate.com. Let me take a moment to introduce our guests today. Our first guest is no stranger to our audience. We usually do one or two shows a year based on the activism and the really important work of Robert Manning. Robert is a retired firefighter. He has been a longtime activist in various areas, including on climate, and has sunk a great deal of his own savings into what he thinks is one of the most important issues that we face as humanity, and that is trying to deal with what's happening in the climate and what's happening in our societies around addressing climate crisis. So, Robert Manning, welcome back to the Project Censored Show.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you, Mickey.
Pleasure to have you, and thanks for connecting us with our other guests today. Andrew Kodama, he is now the director of the Mount Diablo Peace and Justice Center. That's in the San Francisco Bay Area. The Mount Diablo Peace Center just celebrated its 50th anniversary last year. Also, the Peace Center is partnered with Diablo Valley College's Social Justice Program, where I am a faculty member. Andrew, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
And by phone, we welcome back to the program Arnie Gunderson, Fairwinds Energy Education, and that's fairwinds.org, fairewinds.org. Arnie Gunderson has more than 45 years of nuclear power engineering experience. He also earned a bachelor's degree and became a recipient of prestigious Atomic Energy Commission Fellowship for his graduate degree in nuclear engineering. So Arnie Gunderson is an expert in this area. He holds nuclear safety patent, was licensed reactor operator, and is a former nuclear industry senior vice president. During his nuclear power industry career, Arnie also managed and coordinated projects at 70 nuclear power plants in the United States. And Arnie Gunderson has, of course, been a guest on the program in the past several times, talking about the important work that he does along with Maggie Gunderson and many others at fairwinds.org. Arnie Gunderson, welcome back to the Project Censored Show.
Thanks for having me back.
Absolutely. And we'll be coming into you here momentarily, but we want to begin our conversation today with Robert Manning. And so, Robert, I know you have an opening statement. You have some things that you want to lay out for us for the program today. So the floor is yours.
Thank you. Well, first, we'll go back to a little bit to the short bio, is that I'm also 83 years of age. And in American slang, I'm part of the over-the-hill gang. I'm doing everything in my power, both personally and financially and intellectually, that I can do in regards to changing and preventing climate change from getting above 1.5 degrees centigrades by 2028. So as Mickey said, I also have put up between $10,000 and $20,000 so far of my own money. Why I bring that up is that it's always been part of my practice to check someone out in regards to who signs their paycheck. Nobody signs my paycheck. I'm telling you straight from the bottom of my heart, really, is that, we're up against it, and it's not going to be solved unless it's done by all of us, the young, the old, the in-between, all of us, or it's not going to happen. So that's enough of that. In regards to what I've accomplished so far, I've created a website, www.ourfutureclimate.com. Created the website. I've created a video that includes a young famous person, Greta Thunberg. And also, we're in the midst of creating a webcast at the end of March. And we can go into that a little bit later. But this is going to be a suite of videos and testimonials and some humor in regards to getting the message out again about climate change. So that's what I've done. And I'm going to do a lot more.
Well, somehow I believe you, Robert, knowing you for the time that I have. You're tireless in your efforts that you work for social justice, against climate change, and many other areas, particularly around nuclear power, Fukushima, etc. You've certainly been on the front lines of that, and great respect to you and hats off to you for continuing to put it forward.
I'm starting to be called in Rossmore Bulldog.
You know, we need bulldogs in the fight, right? We need yep. That kind of energy. And here we have Andrew Kadama from Mount Diablo Peace Center. You're now the director, and the baton has been passed. And again, I've had a relationship with the folks there for some time. It's great to continue the relationship. Nolan Higdon and I did an event there not too long ago about our book. And you're doing a lot of really important things on the east side of Berkeley, you know, across the tunnel, as we Bay Area folks like to say. Our show's national, so some people may not know what that means, but the Bay Area isn't just San Francisco. It's a pretty broad area, and there's a lot of active people. So, Andrew, why don't you tell folks a little bit about the center and how you're connected here with Robert Manning and about the issue that we're dealing with today, our future climate.
Sure. I came on board to the Peace Center last summer, and that was after about a year or two working in community organizing outreach with high school students, and that was a big goal of mine and my friends getting involved with the Peace Center, because we recognized the 50-year history and we recognized the reach and networks that the Peace Center had. But something that they recognized and we recognized as well was that youth outreach aspect of it was lacking. And that's something that I'm really excited to be working on right now. We're planning a youth climate summit for this April, where we're bringing together youth activists to basically share with the community their own experience with organizing around the climate and how we can organize an intergenerational movement. And when Robert Manning approached me about his project, that was something that really stuck out to me. And in thinking about the Peace Center, our 50-year history, we have so many people in our network who come from different backgrounds and who have different levels of expertise. And so I want to be able to connect students with what Robert's doing, because Robert has so much knowledge and so much expertise and a lot of passion for what this is, and the Peace Center is just so happy to support him.
So I want to dive in a little bit more about what Robert is doing. So we just directed a lot of our audience to ourfutureclimate.com. What should they expect to do or see when they get there? I know you have this video featuring Greta Thunberg, but what is the main call to action? What do you hope that every user that visits your site leaves doing? Is it about voting on a particular policy? Is it about calling their representatives? Is it about changing the way that they are interacting in their daily lives to have less of a climate impact? What do you want everybody that visits your site to leave doing?
Basically, what there is there, we're asking people to share their name, their email address, their zip code, and what country they're from. It's an international approach. Once they do that and spread it to 10 more people, then it will grow. And eventually, you know, we're not going to be contacting them all the time, but eventually, when it comes to voting at the local level and at the state level and at the national level, we will be prepared to give them advice in regards to choosing the most environmentally conscious candidate or existing candidate. It's pretty easy to go and find out the record of how people have voted in the past, and we will have that on the website, and when it comes time to vote, people will be able to make an educated choice. There's different modes of communication. Besides Fairwinds and the Mount Diablo Peace and Justice Center, we're also partnering with the Environmental Voters Project. There's different ways of doing outreach to people. One of them is through targeted campaigns through the internet, like YouTube and Facebook. another is by texting. So if you choose to do texting, once you learn how to do it, the Environmental Voters Project will be great for you in regards to texting. So, like I said, we're forming partnerships, and as I brought out earlier, it's going to take every means of communication, is going to take all of us to solve this problem.
So we're here talking in California right now, and coming around the corner here is Super Tuesday, the Democratic primary where California will be voting. Has your organization sent out an email blast either endorsing or asking you to pay attention to a particular candidate's policies on climate change?
We have not. We're nonpartisan. So when it comes down to, you know, if it's a Democratic candidate or it's an independent candidate or it's a Republican candidate, you know, like I said, we're nonpartisan. If it depends on how their record is, you know, and we're leaving it up to the individual citizen. That's how you stay nonpartisan, is by leaving it up to the individual citizen. You put out the information and then they decide for themselves which way to go.
And so speaking of getting out the information, let's turn to Arne Gundersen, who is a treasure trove of information about climate issues, to say the least. And he is one of the forces behind the fairwinds.org site. We introduced Arne Gundersen earlier. Welcome back to the program, Arne. It's great to have you back.
Hey, Mickey. Thanks for having me.
You're working on a couple of major issues right now, specific things. So why don't you help backfill us a little bit here with some of the information that Robert's talking about that voters need to have in order to make intelligent, informed choices about if they care about the climate, whom should they support?
I've been out stumping, talking about the problems associated with nuclear power for years and years and years. And people would come up to me afterwards and say, yeah, we know it's not safe, but what are we going to do without it? And now there's alternatives, and they're cheaper, and they're safer. And what I love about Robert's site is that he addresses the fact that, one, we have a now problem. We have to get moving on this thing in 2020 and have displaced hydrocarbons by 2028 or 2030 if we stand a chance. And all of these magical nuclear solutions have their first reactor built by about 2030. And, of course, then it's probably 50 years after that before they finally have an effect. So timing-wise, nuclear power can't solve climate change. Economically, it's already 2 to 3 times more expensive than solar plus batteries. There's a utility down in Southern California right now who's getting solar plus batteries at around 4 cents. And new nukes are going to come in at 12 or 15 cents per kilowatt hour. So what that means is, for every buck you put into a new nuke, you could build 3 times that amount of solar plus storage. And we have a crisis. We have to build a lot of battleships, not the most expensive fancy battleships, but battleships. And those ships are the solar and the wind with the battery backup. And it's here right now. So what are we waiting for? We have the technology. It's cheaper. And the alternative, oh, by the way, has waste that lasts for 250,000 years. It seems to me like there should be no debate. I think Robert's site portrays it that way, and I deeply appreciate his commitment.
So, Arne Gundersen, when you talk about battleships, are you talking metaphorically about how we're fighting against climate change?
Metaphorical. Okay. The same program that won World War II, you know, we were cranking out 50,000 airplanes a year. We can do that. Renewable sources of power, wind, solar, and batteries, we can do this. The technology's right here, right now. And my God, there's jobs galore. So it's jobs program.
I just want to remind listeners that we were just speaking with Arne Gundersen of Fairwinds Energy Education. We're also joined by longtime climate activist Robert Manning, and we're joined by Andrew Kadama of the Mount Diablo Peace and Justice Center that is teamed up with Robert and now Arne, and has a new website called ourfutureclimate.com. I'm Mickey Huff with Chase Palmieri. This is the Project Censored Show on Pacifica Radio, and after this brief musical break, we'll continue our conversation. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Project Censored Show. I'm your host, Mickey Huff, with Chase Palmieri. We're talking about our future climate today in a website called ourfutureclimate.com. We're joined by longtime activist Robert Manning. We are joined by nuclear energy expert Arne Gundersen of fairwinds.org. Arne Gundersen has more than 45 years of nuclear power engineering experience and also managed and coordinated projects at 70 nuclear plants in the United States. We're also joined by Andrew Kadama, who is the director of the Mount Diablo Peace and Justice Center and has been working with Robert Manning and Arne on this collective effort to educate the public, as Robert Manning said earlier, to educate the public in a nonpartisan way, right? Not to advocate for you vote for candidate X or you go donkey or elephant, but if you care about the climate, here's some facts, here's some information, here's voting records, and here's something that you can maybe do about it. You can learn more at their website. It is ourfutureclimate.com, our, ourfutureclimate.com. To learn more about the work of Arne and Maggie Gundersen over at Fair Winds Energy Education, it's fairwinds.org. It's F-A-I-R-E, fairwinds.org. And Arne Gundersen, before the break, we were talking about the rise of renewables and how this isn't even a head-scratcher. Not only we can do this, we really need to do this moment as far as history is concerned. You know, J.P. Morgan just said very recently that they're going to stop investing in companies that want to do Arctic drilling. That's days late, dollars short, and all that jazz, and they're certainly going to be funding people who want to do more ocean drilling and other offshore drilling. So it's not like they're going to snap their fingers and fix the problems, but it's curious that they're even making that kind of a statement. And look, we know this from Exxon. We know this from Shell. We know that for over 40 years, their own scientists have told them that they were contributing to a coming climate crisis, and they did nothing to stop it. They wanted to squeeze every last dollar out of the black gold in the earth. And Arne Gundersen, this is where you come in. One of the big alternatives, even among some liberals, has been advocating for nuclear power, nuclear energy. We're coming up on an anniversary. I shouldn't call it an anniversary. It's more like a memorial of Fukushima in Japan, March 11. And Arne Gundersen, what can you tell us about why is nuclear power not the answer? You did tell us a little bit before. You know, you talked a little bit about common sense economics. But as somebody that's an expert on nuclear power, why don't you help our listeners understand your reasoning behind this?
You know, I've been to Japan four times since the meltdown, and it's devastating to see these ghost towns where once thriving communities existed, and poof, overnight they're gone. I got to know Naoto Kan, who was the prime minister of Japan at the time of the meltdown. And he talked about having to face the likelihood of having to evacuate Tokyo with 15 million people. And I've read Gorbachev's memoirs, and he talks about Chernobyl was the cause of the collapse of the Soviet Union. So we're dealing with a technology that can change the fabric of society overnight. It happened in Japan. It happened in the Soviet Union, and we forget that Fukushima reactors were designed and built here in the States. So it's an American design that went haywire and destroyed a prefecture, which is about the size of California. And in the 70s, I was in San Jose frequently working with General Electric on a reactor to be built in the East, and they had an engineer consultant firm in Manhattan called EBASCO, E-B-S-C-O. That was a captured engineering firm. So their engineering firm designed the plant in Fukushima.
So Arne Gundersen, another question here, since we're talking about Japan. There's Olympics coming up. So tie this together. You just talked about concerns at Fukushima and concerns about how do you evacuate a massive area of 15 million people. What's your concern with the Olympics?
We're going to be putting out a scientific peer-reviewed paper on the radiation and the effects on the Olympics in the next month or two, because the peer review process takes time. I can't tell you exactly when, but you'll know as soon as that report goes up, anybody who's on the Fairwinds email list. will get the notification that we put a major report out about radiation and the Olympics. I can't tell you the bottom line because in science, if you do that, they throw your paper out. They want to be the first to publish. So at some point, there'll be a published story, and you can call me back and we can talk at length. But, you know, if we're worried about Olympic athletes who are going to be there for 2 weeks, 9 years after the meltdown, we should really sincerely open our hearts up to the 200,000 or 300,000 or 400,000 Japanese citizens who've had to live in that prefecture, in that state, for the last 9 years, 24/7, 365. You know, that the Olympics may affect Olympic athletes is 2 weeks out of 9 years. And these poor people have had to live in that environment for 9 years straight. So I think it's a little bit elitist to be worried about Olympic athletes. We're trying to get the athletes to send us their shoelaces. Especially, there's some games that are proposed to be played in Fukushima Prefecture. And, of course, the Olympic relay runs right through the entire prefecture. And this is all a game. We call it an atomic bomb, B-A-L-M. Abe is using it to make the radiation go away. But if the runners on the Olympic torch route, and if the players and the venues in Fukushima would send us their shoelaces, we call it radiation, science on a shoestring, we could learn a lot about the dust that they've been living with, kicking up as athletes. And of course, if you're kicking it up, you're breathing it in. And my big concern is the internal exposure that the athletes are getting and the internal exposure that the people in Japan who live there 24/7, 365 are getting. The published paper we've got so far shows that the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency, is grossly underestimating the exposure to the people in Japan.
On our drive over here, Robert and I were just talking about that. And Robert, you were telling me some pretty shocking news about citizens who are being paid to go back there.
Well, the government is paying citizens to go back to Fukushima Prefecture. If they don't go back, they're withholding the money.
This is a carrot stick to make it appear as though there's nothing wrong. We know the Abe government has been downplaying. We know they've been trying to cover it up. We know TEPCO was involved in all kinds of scandalous cover-ups and mis- and disinformation campaigns. We've covered those at Project Censored. But as Arne Gundersen knows, you know, the corporate news media is really tied in, you know, to not just the fossil fuels, but also big nukes, because that's really a big part of the military-industrial complex. And so it's sometimes really difficult to kind of look in corporate media and get accurate information about the potential health hazards and threats of nuclear energy, nuclear power, not to mention nuclear weapons. The Trump administration has just been involved in improving low-yield nukes on submarines, and they can, quote, only destroy like a 20-block area in Manhattan. You know, and then radiate everything thereby. Quite a frame, unfortunately.
24 hours a day, there is highly radioactive material going into the Sea of Japan. Still, Arne knows more about that than I do. Arne, could you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, there's two sources, and everybody focuses on the tank farm. Tokyo Electric has 1 million tons of radioactive water sitting on a hillside behind the plant. And they say they're running out of room, but if you look at the pictures, they just don't want to buy the land next to them. And I can tell you it's really cheap because it's highly radioactive. And they're going to dump that radiation into the Pacific. The tanks contain tritium, but also cesium and strontium. And rather than let it sit there, they just want to get it out. That's area number one, is pumping this waste out into the ocean, which is absolutely wrong. The second thing are these huge 30 million tons, 30 million one-ton bags of radioactive waste. You've probably seen the picture some. And those are scattered all through Fukushima Prefecture as well. Now, that's only about 5% of the total. The biggest source of radiation is what's still up there in the mountains. And every time it rains, radiation pours off the soil, down the rivers and creeks, and into the ocean as well. Plus, the plant is leaking still 150 tons of radioactive water a day into the Pacific. So to think that we've turned a corner on Fukushima when you've got four sources, the tank farm, the bags of waste, the plant is leaking directly into it, and oh, by the way, 85% of the whole prefecture has never been cleaned up. It's an affront to my intellect to think that we think that this problem is solved or even solvable.
Well, that's a mouthful that, you know, given your experience and your expertise, all the more reason, I suppose, to abandon the idea that nuclear power is in any way safe and seriously start looking to address climate change in more renewable ways. I'd just like to remind listeners once again that you're tuned to the Project Censored show. I'm your host, Mickey Huff, with Chase Palmieri. We're joined today by Robert Manning, who's one of the forces behind OurFutureClimate.com. We're also joined by Andrew Kadama, who's the director of the Mount Diablo Peace and Justice Center. And, of course, Arne Gundersen, who is a nuclear power and nuclear energy expert. He has managed and coordinated projects at 70 nuclear power plants in the U.S., has worked with nuclear power for over 45 years. His website, fairwinds.org, the Fairwinds Energy Education. After this brief musical break, we'll continue our conversation. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Project Censored Show. I'm your host, Mickey Huff, in studio with co-host Chase Palmieri. On today's program, we're talking about Our Future Climate, which also happens to be the name of a new website and a project that Robert Manning helped start. He's one of our guests today, OurFutureClimate.com. We're also joined by Andrew Kadama, the director of the Mount Diablo Peace and Justice Center, that is working with Robert Manning and others across generations on the climate crisis issues. And also, we're joined by Arne Gundersen. He is an expert in nuclear energy and nuclear power from Fair Winds Energy Education. That's fairwinds.org, fairewinds.org. So, Chase Palmieri, you had a couple of things that you wanted to get to, and we also want to spend more time in this part of the program, not just hitting on the gloom and the doom, but we also want to talk about, well, what are we doing and what's the whole purpose of this website and what are some of the solutions and so forth. So, Chase, I know you have a couple things to ask, and I think you're going to direct those initially to Arne Gundersen.
Yeah, Arne, it's not every day we have a nuclear power expert on our call. So let me ask you, there's a new Netflix series that outlines Bill Gates and everything he's working on to fight climate change, and he's spending an enormous amount of resources. And now we see Jeff Bezos just created a $10 billion fund as well. But regarding Bill Gates' efforts, he is working on a nuclear power plant that does not require enriched uranium. I'm wondering if you can speak to the cost savings or possibly the health savings that might come if this potential project actually succeeds.
That's the big if. There was 250 nuclear reactors proposed, and they began the licensing process here in the United States. Half of them were canceled before they got built. The other half were built, and some have broken down and some have closed down, and now we're down at about 95. So out of 250 nukes that started at the starting gate, we're down to 95 right now. But every single one of them, including the 95 that were running, were late and over budget. So When I hear the nuclear industry telling me that, oh my God, we've got a better gizmo, it's going to be cheap and it's going to be on time, I say, show me one. To pick one out of 250 reactors that was built on time and on budget, and I will shut up forever. And they can't. So when I hear Bill Gates on a new project, I mean, he's a brilliant guy, but this isn't his sandbox. They're using his money to essentially create in their minds a design that can never be economical and can never be delivered in time to meet the climate crisis. There's a saying that the Gates engineers have the safest plan ever built on paper cooled with ink. And I think that really summarizes where that project's at.
Okay. So, Arnie, it sounds like you're still where you were at the beginning of the call, which is that solar plus battery storage is the most cost-effective and fastest solution we can start to employ. I'm curious, where do you see Tesla fitting in into this equation? Because obviously they've been a big innovator in these two areas. And where do you see them having to work with world governments in order to really get this technology out in a big way?
First off, I'd refer your readers to a story, and I gave a presentation out at Northwestern University in Chicago a couple of years ago now, and Forbes covered it. I didn't know that they were covering it, but they did. And the title of the story is, Did Tesla Just Kill Nuclear Power? And it talks about the trend in energy storage, so that not only have solar cells been plummeting, but also the cost of batteries have been plummeting. No, I don't know that Tesla's got the best design. I think, you know, 10 years from now, there may be other batteries out there that likely do storage better and cheaper than Tesla's, which is a lithium approach. But the bottom line is that renewables, and it's not just solar, it's wind and some hydro and some solar, plus a way to store it. And that can be, you know, solar batteries. There's other ways to store energy that are on the horizon as well. And there's also lots of better chemical processes than the lithium that Tesla's using. So my bottom line is that any of these are here right now. We don't have to wait 10 years for somebody to get a demonstration reactor and then 10 years for the next reactor after that to be built. We've got to solve this problem by 2028 or 2030. And Robert's site drives that home. This is a now problem. And the only tools you've got are the tools that are on the table right now, and that's renewable and storage.
So it doesn't sound like you think there's enough time to let privatized industry solve these problems. It sounds like you think that world governments are going to have to look at some of these solutions and possibly step up with their own pocketbooks.
I think the reason utilities and big companies, and in fact big government, are making it so difficult to succeed with renewables is that renewables take the grid away from big business. You wind up with a distributed grid of thousands of small sources of energy as opposed to, you know, a couple hundred big power plants connected by big transmission lines. So it very much democratizes the electric grid. The future grid is going to look more like the leaves on a tree. You know, you don't see a tree with 25 really big leaves on it. Yeah, a tree with, you know, hundreds of little leaves. And that's what a distributed grid will look like. And that's much more democratic than the process that we have developed over the 100 years since electricity really became common, with big companies controlling big power plants and pushing power down big transmission lines. I think that's a 20th century paradigm. The 21st century paradigm is going to be distributed power, which is very much a democratic process.
So, Arnie Gunderson, am I hearing you maybe say power for the people is power to the people? I'm not a capitalist or not known to be one, but we'll patent that one for us, right? Maybe we can fund our efforts to stop the climate crisis.
There we go.
Great questions here and great conversation. Robert Manning, let's build on the momentum here. Arnie Gunderson just answered some important points and you know, sounds like that we got to roll up our sleeves and collectively get busy to solve these kinds of problems. And your site is about solutions. That's what you want to focus on, and you really want to give people hope, right? So talk to us a little bit about that.
The bottom line is we can do this, because in the past, I can give you a couple of examples that are still here today. And one of them was, when I was a kid, I read the funny papers, and it was all about Buck Rogers. And guess what? We created enemies. The former Soviet Union and the United States created the International Space Station, which is still going today. Enemies came together to build it, and then it included later Japan, the European Union, Canada, and so on and so forth. So it's like, you know, when we put our mind to it, it's like going to the moon. You know, there was a national mobilization to do that. Okay, that's what it's going to take. But it's going to be from the people. And you have to vote climate. I'll give you another example. The most environmentally conscious treaty that's ever been created and is still in effect today and is being very successful is the Montreal Protocol. The Montreal Protocol is in regards to chlorofluorocarbons, which in regards to the air conditioner in your car, your home, refrigerators, freezers, whatever, the ozone hole is getting smaller. And in fact, there's a prediction that within the northern hemisphere, except for the Arctic, the ozone layer will be closed sometime in the 2030s. Now, if that's not a success story, I don't know what is. And it's done through international cooperation. And it's from pressure from the bottom up. It's you and me and everyone else out there. You know, if we have the passion and the commitment, we can do it.
Back to Arnie. What is this video you have?
Maggie had the idea of creating an animation. 2-minute animation, because apparently that's all people are willing to watch. And we were able to condense the renewable nuclear argument into a 2-minute animation, which is really effective. And it's in 4 different languages. We've translated it into French, German, Japanese, and English. We've got a tool that allows people to visualize in a very short time the problems associated with solving the climate crisis with nuclear versus solving the climate crisis with renewables. And we can do it in 2 minutes. I think it's on Robert's site.
There's 3 videos on ourfutureclimate.com right now. What my question was leading to is, are you working on more of this kind of delivery? It was a sad commentary that you made there a moment ago, Arnie, and from Maggie, the idea that we need to get people's attention. And so if you can't tell people why something's really important in a couple minutes, you might be losing some opportunity. And as someone that's a professor and someone that works on books that are hundreds of pages long, that's a total affront to my sensibility as a person, actually. But we'll put me aside, because our co-host here, Chase Palmieri, from a younger generation than myself, you know, Predator.com has come up with a way to rate news sites in a matter of a few moments, a few minutes of clicking through things, that people really can get into thinking critically if they're spurred the right way by these kind of short bursts of information. And so, Robert, I want to bring it back to you here. What else do you have planned for ourfutureclimate.com?
I'm very glad you asked. We're creating a webcast that's going to be produced on March 29th of this year. And the webcast is going to be Eastern Standard Time, 7 a.m. to midnight, which is 17 hours. What's happening with that is it kind of ties into exactly what we were talking about. It's going to be a suite of videos. They'll be no longer than 4 minutes long, and it's going to go right down the line in regards to the problems. First on the agenda is ourfutureclimate.com. The second is smokescreen. The next is fossil fuel polluters, and there'll be a 2-minute video, and then there'll be a positive aspect in regards to a success story in regards to fossil fuel polluters. The next will be zero emissions in all vehicles. The next will be replanting all the forests, rainforests and other forests. The next will be sustainable agriculture. Another way will be eco-friendly eating, if that's what you choose to do. Another is the oceans and the atmosphere, and also spread of disease. All of these are going to be on there because of the weather patterns changing. Actually, diseases are starting to move northward from the tropics. So all of these will be on there. But the bottom line is for us all to pull together, take action, and vote climate.
And that's why you have partnered, too, then, with the Environmental Voter Project. That's also part of the outreach for that, right?
Right, of course.
Okay, so the website is ourfutureclimate.com. Believe it or not, it's time for our final break. We have one segment remaining where we're going to hear from our guests. I'm your host, Mickey Huff, with co-host Chase Palmieri. It's the Project Censored Show on Pacifica Radio. We are talking about ourfutureclimate.com on today's program with Robert Manning, Andrew Kadama, and Arnie Gunderson of Fairwinds Energy Education. We'll be back after this brief and final musical break. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Project Censored Show. I'm your host, Mickey Huff, with co-host Chase Palmieri. On today's show, we've been focusing on our future climate and a project called ourfutureclimate.com. We've been joined by longtime activist Robert Manning. He's one of the forces behind ourfutureclimate.com project. And you just heard Robert before the break rattling off a list of things that the March 29th, 17-hour series of webcasts. That's at ourfutureclimate.com. Before that, you also heard, of course, Arnie Gunderson has more than 45 years of nuclear power engineering experience and managed and coordinated projects at 70 nuclear power plants in the United States. He is at Fairwinds Energy Education, or fairwinds.org. We've also been joined by Andrew Kadama, who's the director of the Mount Diablo Peace and Justice Center. And Andrew, I want to start this last segment with you riffing on the solutions on these various projects that Robert Manning was just discussing, and then we'll get everybody back in here, including Arnie Gunderson. But you mentioned early in the show the importance of working across generations. We've heard Robert say multiple times that this is everybody's issue. We've all got to pitch in. You know, we need people like Robert and Arnie who have the expertise and the experience and the wisdom and the perseverance. But, you know, we also need everybody in between, and we absolutely, in fact, a lot of the attention that is now being paid to the climate crisis is being generated by the younger people. In fact, the youngest people. You mentioned Greta Thunberg earlier. I work in college. A lot of college-age students are very, very tied into this issue of climate. But I see even more in younger generations where people that are between 8 and 16 years old, they're really hip to this issue. They're pretty aware of it because it's their future that appears to be most threatened. Andrew Kadama, as a younger person and also director of Mount Diablo Peace and Justice Center, one of your jobs, right, sure, is not only reaching out and crossing all these generations, but it's creating a hub for everybody to come together. So yeah, share your wisdom and experience with us about what you've been doing on this issue.
Sure. And just to go off the point you were just making about the brilliance of young people right now is that the young people, like you were saying, in the age group 8 to 16, 8 to 18, have an intuitive understanding of the intersectionality of all these different issues. So when you talk to them about climate justice, they're also talking about racial justice. They're also talking about indigenous rights, and they're talking about how communities of color and low-income communities are disproportionately affected by things in our climate. And so in connecting with Robert with this project, a big thing that I've noticed with working with the center, even though it's been less than a year, has been that there are so many people in the Bay Area doing amazing activist work, but there's not always a network or space to connect those people together. So I really see the center as being a place where I've been lucky to connect with someone like Robert, someone like Arnie, and bring all the different backgrounds and expertise together to unify a movement.
I'm really heartened to hear the social justice angle in terms of that connectivity, because when social science and so on, we teach about environmental racism, we teach about those things. But like you said, I think one of the magic words that you said is that among younger groups, it seems that this is almost intuited. The intersectionality of it is something that they get right away, you know, whereas the older you get, and of course, the more privileged people get, the less attuned to those issues they seem to be, even though what's happening around the climate affects absolutely everybody. And I don't want to just say everybody. I mean everything, animals, all everything. So Arnie Gunderson, let's get you in here now. Let's talk about this. What are you doing at Fairwinds to cross these generational divides? And obviously, smokescreen the video is one of them.
As a 501c3, we can't endorse candidates, but we sure can tell people to get out and vote. And I think that's the beauty of what Robert's doing. There's no endorsement here. Just vote for somebody who says, look, I view the climate crisis as an existential crisis that's going to affect, I'll probably be dead by the time the sea levels rise, but my kids and my grandkids for sure. So we really try to, through a lot of social media, present the material in a lot of different ways. And yes, there's a couple peer-reviewed reports out there that are important, but really if everybody relied on peer-reviewed reports, we would be getting nowhere. The key is in social media, and at the end of the day, you can't be a slacktivist. You got to get off your butt, stand in line, and vote.
This is tall order for some. You know, we live in a country where some 46% of the electorate couldn't show up last time. Granted, as Jim Hightower once wrote, that if the gods had wanted us to vote, they would have given us candidates. But among the people right now running for president in the Democratic Party, which is also deeply controlled by corporations and corporate interests and Wall Street and fossil fuel companies, even though they tend to at least greenwash themselves, you know, more so than the GOP, the candidates that are speaking out about climate and climate crisis and climate justice, they've got a large outpouring of young people supporting them. Even though Sanders is in his 70s, you know, Nolan Higdon, our co-author and works with us at Project Censored, he was just in Nevada at the caucuses, and he was just absolutely overwhelmed by the ocean of young people that are behind the Sanders campaign. I'm not endorsing a candidate here. I'm just saying that this is evidence of exactly what we're talking about, that young people seem to be intuitively connected into this issue. Chase?
It goes to show that the younger generations, because there's more on the line, they're not as interested in identity politics because they overwhelmingly are voting for an old white Jewish man. So it shows you that they really are more concerned about the policies than they are about the politician themselves.
That's probably a good thing, given that we have way too much of a cult of personality seeming to dominate the political history and landscape here in the United States. But Arnie, anything else here that you want to add to our solutions component? You certainly advocated for people to get out and vote however it is they do, but with climate on their mind. You teased us with a report that might be coming out here in a couple of months at fairwinds.org. Anything else we should be looking forward from you, from your organization, from fairwinds.org? On these matters?
I can't endorse the candidates, but there's a couple of key people on the intellectual side of the movement. One guy named Mark Jacobson and another guy named Bill McKibben. And Jacobson's policies have been absorbed by Bernie's campaign. So I love Mark Jacobson's work, and I would endorse Jacobson. So let's just leave it at that. The other things that are on the horizon for us are that we're very close to finishing a report on the Woolsey Fire. The Woolsey Fire was near L.A., and it ran all the way out to the sea, causing about $1.6 billion of damage. But it started on the site of an old nuclear meltdown. We crowdsourced 370 samples. People mailed us samples, and it's taken us a year to analyze, but that's another scientific paper that's working its way through peer review. So You'll hear about two things from us in the near future. Science is slow, but eventually I hope it actually counts for something.
Well, Arne Gundersen, we really appreciate that. Fairwinds.org is the name of the website. Fairwinds Energy Education. Fair is F-A-I-R-E, winds.org. Robert Manning, you are the force behind OurFutureClimate.com. What else do you want to say here in the last couple minutes we have? You're really hopeful. Despite all the things we outlined in the first half of the show, here you are, you're 83, still going. You're not quitting, and you're working with people, you know, that are on all the way on the other end of the age spectrum, and you think this is something that we need not only need to do, but you think we can.
That's very true. Once again, I'll just emphasize that it's going to take all of us throughout the world, not just the United States. We're part of it, but we're not the whole thing. So it's going to take all of us. And, you know, I think it's wonderful that the Mount Diablo Peace and Justice Center, and I'll let Andrew go into that in regards to a youth conference.
Yeah, the youth conference is fantastic, and we're certainly going to be reaching out to Andrew for Diablo Valley College's Social Justice Day in May. I'd like to see a whole presentation on this and on our future climate. I can't say it enough. Young people are really dialed into this issue. It's really significant. Andrew Kadama, let's close out the program with you. Thanks so much for joining us today. And what's on your mind here at the end of the segment?
Thank you for having us. Just to go off what Robert was saying about needing an intergenerational movement, the Peace Center is planning on April 18th, taking place in Central Contra Costa County, a student climate summit where we're looking to bring together student activists, educators, and the larger community together for an all-day summit to come together, share resources, talk about what's going on the ground, and then from there have a coordinated effort that moves beyond this summit so people can, across Contra Costa, can come together and really work together on this issue.
So any technology involved that blasts this out to the larger world?
Please visit our website, ourpeacecenter.org, O-U-R, peacecenter.org, and you'll see some updates there.
Yeah, definitely the reason I wanted to point that out is the Peace Center has a riveting schedule of speakers and workshops and so many things. It's a really vital asset here in the East Bay community. But the reason I wanted to point that out is that our show airs across the country, and a lot of people don't realize that there are Peace Centers and that there are activist groups and that there are other people that are really dialed into this. But it's not broadcast on the corporate press, and it's not in the front page of the news. So oftentimes you've got to go looking for these things, and when people go looking, it's interesting what they actually find. Chase, you wanted to remind our listeners of something about we were talking about earlier.
Yeah. For our listeners, earlier in the program we mentioned, or Arne specifically mentioned, a new technology that's storing energy in concrete blocks. It is just about as odd as it sounds. I recommend listeners check out Energy Vault. It's a Swiss startup company. And what they're doing is stacking concrete blocks in a way that actually generates electricity. And it's surprisingly efficient and surprisingly fun to watch how it operates. So feel free to go check that out as well.
Chase, thanks for that. Arne Gundersen, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me again. Look forward to sharing those peer-reviewed reports when we get them done.
We will certainly share them at projectcensored.org and on social media. Robert Manning, always an honor and a pleasure to see you. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, I'm honored for being here. Thank you.
And Andrew Kadama, thank you for what you're doing at the Mount Diablo Peace and Justice Center for a younger generation of people that are really committed to making the world a better place. We really appreciate all your work, and thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. You too.
So for myself and Chase Palmieri, we're going to sign out here, but very quickly, speaking of other North Bay activities that are also going to be online for the world to see, the 6th annual Social Justice Week events are coming up at Sonoma State University March 2nd to 7th. You can learn more at projectcensored.org or sonoma.edu. Angela Davis will be there. We'll be debuting the new Project Censored movie. John Bertucci's doing a great piece on Peter Dale Scott in the Deep State. So many people and things going on there. The great Peter Phillips has kept this running 6 years now, so kudos to Dr. Peter Phillips for the great work he's done, and Diana Grant, and everybody that's kept that program going. The Social Justice Week at Sonoma State University, it's really been a model for a lot of other schools in the area, so a big shout out to that. Anybody wants to learn more, feel free to go to projectcensored.org. And that about does it for the show today. You've been tuned to the Project Censored Show on Pacifica Radio. I'm your host, Mickey Huff, with co-host Chase Palmieri. Our senior producer is Anthony Fest. Our associate producer is Dennis Murphy. Our program airs on roughly 50 stations from Hawaii to New York. And to learn more about our work or find any previous archive programs, go to projectcensored.org. Please follow and like us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, even though we criticize the algorithmic world of control that goes on behind them. But we are there, and we are amongst the devils, I suppose, so that we can see more clearly what we face. Also, again, you know, please subscribe to the Project Censored Show on YouTube and on your cell phone's podcast application. Please feel free also to share your feedback about our work. Last, but certainly not least, thanks to you, our listeners, for tuning in. We will certainly see you next time.
Propaganda and corrupt politicians, 'cause they own by special interest groups that fund their campaign. That's why you hear the same old things they claim, but change never came. It's a dirty game maintained by rain for capital gain. But my people getting tired of the pain and the shame. We're not commodities or cogs that turn the global economy. We're the promise of a legacy, a spirit we're honoring. An anomaly to those who can't imagine a world without oppressive force, enslavement for almighty dollar. About criminal minds, political ties, habitualized alibis, disguised under the guise of democracy, politics, and the apocalypse. Got the skies looking ominous. So the ocean burned bright with waves full of poison. Genocide wars fought for little boys, and the weapons manufactured paid for by taxing while the bridges and the levees and the mines collapsing. All the prisons build the capacity citizens. In the times for the master thief, divine conquer, steal a masterpiece. Open your eyes and realize what's happening. Time's running out to reach all potential fame at the table, then you're probably on the menu. We got that love of the brothers.